Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us here for episode 11 of The Standoff with Sanj and Brad. Unfortunately, coming with you with news today that New Zealand, Auckland has gone back into alert level 3 and the rest of the country at alert level 2. However, that shouldn't concern us. And we're looking forward to a great show this evening, and I'm joined on a Wednesday evening by my fellow colleague, Brad Inger. Good evening, Brad.
Good evening, Sanjay, and good evening to our listeners. It was a predictable week in regards to results, but we've got some interesting news topics to talk about. I look forward to it.
Yeah, look, we're here every Wednesday night, like I said, at 8 p.m. You can catch us on our podcast by iHeartRadio at your convenience. So please tune in and get your rugby league information from Brad and Sanj. So, look, as always, we'll cover off everything that you need to know in the week that was rugby league, a wrap up around 13, preview of round 14, and news from around the world in terms of rugby league. So please tune in. And I think what we'll do right now is crack into the top stories of the week, Brad.
Yeah, and I suppose we started last week with Warriors news that was a bit somber. Got a bit more better news this week. So we've got a coach, which is great to know. Nathan Brown signed on for a 3-year deal, starting officially on the 1st of November. And Phil Goulds joined the club as a consultant with the aim of developing an academy in New Zealand. So before we go on to the rest, what are your thoughts on that?
I'm very excited about the Nathan Brown signing. I think it's a good move from the Vodafone Warriors. I think that, you know, the fact that they've been able to get Phil Gould over here, it does speak a little bit of volume for the respect that the board have got in the NRL. I think finally someone is wanting to come over here and do something for the New Zealand Warriors. And I'm really, really happy and proud about that. I think that there should be a good expectation out of this one. We've had bursts of expectation in the past with Blue McLennan coming back from Super League. Everyone thought then, hey, listen, the Daniel Andersons, the Ivan Clearys, you know, we've been there, thereabouts a few times, but this is a really exciting time in the Vodafone Warriors tenureship in the NRL, I would say. Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, definitely. I think Nathan Brown, I was still a bit iffy when I heard the news, but he's got the job, so I'm willing and see how he goes. With Phil Goulds, I've been harping on a bit about it, that the biggest issue I see with the club is there's no development structure. They like we talked a few weeks ago now on one of the earlier episodes that they've got a deal with Redcliffe Dolphins and all ties with New Zealand. And Phil Goulds coming in to kind of retie those ties and try to build a pathway, much like we see at Penrith. If it's going to be as successful as Penrith, we don't know, but it's good to see them at least trying something. Although I looked a bit dumbfounded last week saying, I don't know what the club's doing, don't know where their plans are. So it looks like they've got plans and they're going forward. So that's a positive, definitely.
No, yeah, I think it's going to be exciting times. Like I said before, Phil Gould, like he's one of these no nonsense figures in rugby league, you know, like, and he gives it to you straight, but he's also very educated in all aspects of rugby league. You know, he's a smart rugby league person. And, you know, I first got the best glimpse of that for me was when he won the Origins, I think, between 93 to 96. And then they lost one year and then he won three more. So he won six out of seven Origins. in the 90s. So now looking forward to having Phil come over, and exciting times. And at the moment, you know what, it's actually it's reflecting on the game that's the Warriors are playing as well. I mean, happy camp upstairs, the boys are going out there and okay, look, they're not, you know, they're not perhaps expected to win this weekend, but they're putting in some good performances. When, to be honest, we right now, with the way that the club is letting Blake Green go last week, it could have been like 40-0 at the weekend and people wouldn't have blinked an eye. So, you know, people got to take, you know, be mindful of that, eh? Like, the Warriors are not playing too badly. Okay, they're not having the best season again. But considering where everything has been against them and so forth, not doing too badly, Brad.
Yeah, definitely. And that's a good question from Simon, which I'll hold off until our question section, because I think that's a good question to talk about. But before we move on to other news, the Warriors have officially announced one signing, but have actually signed two. So Kane Evans, the big prop from Parramatta Eels, he's officially signed a two-year deal with the club. And Yuan Aiken from the Dragons, a centre there, it hasn't been announced by the club, but he's actually announced it himself on social media that he's signed a three-year deal with the club. I think they're just waiting for the ink to dry before they announce it. But I think some good signings there. Another big boy in the middle and a strike centre, which everyone has said the Warriors need.
Yeah, I think a couple of good signings there coming off the back of the signing of the new coach, obviously Nathan Brown, and obviously Gus Gould. So, yeah, look, I haven't seen a heck of a lot of those guys, to be honest. I mean, only what we've seen this season, really. So we'll have to wait and see how they sort of pan out. But, I mean, yeah, I just, with Ivan Cleary there, with the signing, Ivan Cleary, obviously the former Warriors coach, he was certainly instrumental at once upon a time in making them what they were. So let's hope that Nathan Brown and Gus Gould can get it right in terms of the new coaching duo.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of Ivan Cleary, he's been fined $20,000 for his post-match comments about the referees. I think the direct quote was the Raiders were being matched back into the game. And Peter Vlandy's come out firing, really, and said that it's despicable to accuse the refs of managing a team back into a game. I was intrigued by him making the comments because they had just won their eighth game in a row, which we're going to cover later. And it's not really a comment you make when you're winning.
I think this whole thing has been blown out of proportion, mate. It's not a big deal. He went off and said that they need to be managed back into the game. I mean, okay, yeah, it sounds a little bit deplorable. That's the word that Vlandy did use, deplorable. And I was like, well, you could be taking it as deplorable, but, I mean, he's a seasoned campaigner, and Ivan Cleary, he was pretty much, from his perspective, just saying it the way that it was, you know, like, yeah. So at the end of the day, you know, I actually am really, like, just humorized by that whole situation, to be honest. I think, it's just, let's just play rugby league, man. Like, let's, yeah. You know, he's got to say, if he wants to say something at the end of the game, he's going to say it, it's cost him 20K. It'll cost him. He'll be disappointed that he's lost the 20K, but he'll be like, oh, well, would he have said it again? You know what? Ivan's the kind of character, he probably would have. So, yeah.
He's usually got one in him a year. He got in trouble with it last year for addressing a ref in the tunnel. It's not too big a deal, in my opinion, is like you said. So, I think he'll just write the check and move on.
Absolutely. And I mean, in more controversial news this week, obviously we've got the biosecurity breaches. Can you believe how many idiots there are making mistakes like this on the weekend, going for coffees, going to get their barbershop, meet their friends at the barbershop? I mean, it is unbelievable. Who have we got? We've got Wayne Bennett, obviously. No, sorry, not Wayne. We've got Paul Vaughan, Tevita Pangai Jr., and Alfie Langer, of course. Don't know if that was a really selfish one, but Tevita Pangai Jr., that was a terrible, terrible situation he got himself into there, Brad.
Yeah, it's shocking. Pangai Jr.'s kind of had a week. It was just before we went on air, the NRL have actually stood him down indefinitely and fined him $30,000 for it. So he has been told he's not allowed to play again until they're confident that he will no longer do these breaches, because apparently the police raid one that he got busted for wasn't his first. He's apparently been doing it quite a bit. So I think McGregor, the coach of the Dragons, came out and was quite brutal against Paul Vaughan, said it was a very selfish decision, rightly so. think it's Wayne Bennett was the one that kind of started all of this when he got snapped. And he's actually on the board, the Apollo board, I think they call it, which is in charge of making all these rules to make sure everyone stays in line. So the fact that he's on the board of making these decisions and then he goes and does that, it's a real bad look, especially when you've got like the Warriors over there away from families and that, and these guys are just taking the piss, basically.
Yeah, I just think it was, you know, the Vaughn one was a really serious one, I think. A couple of players left out injured, and then to sort of deprive your team of his skill set on the night for the Dragons, it was just definitely going to be a very selfish act, unfortunately. And there was nothing else that could be said about it, really. You know, Tevita Pangai Jr., obviously, going down to the Vikings to meet his mates. I mean, just where's the thinking process? Like, I mean, how much, you know, you're going to cost yourself a couple of thousand dollars, some games away. Like, I mean, nothing good can come of those actions. And particularly with the, I guess, the social aspect of it. I mean, with the, you know, everyone in community at the moment around the rules and regulations of the COVID virus, it sort of, you know, illustrates their, you know, their personality to the public in such a way. Well, look, they don't got no disregard for what's been going on. So no regard for what's going on. So like, it's just, yeah, absolute craziness, I think. So, but yeah, we'll move on.
Yeah, well, we'll keep on the same kind of path a bit because we're talking about Pangai and we'll talk about the Broncos. They've had a great week, I think. They've got players banned for breaching the bubble, like we just said with Pangai Jr. Seabolt's been out because he stayed in Sydney for some family reasons. Darius Boyd's quit the leadership group. There's Peter Gentle is in charge for the next 2 weeks, and I'm not sure about you, but I don't actually know who he is. It's for a dynasty club, which you can say the Broncos are. It's horrible. I don't know what's going on there, but they need to fix it.
This could be seen as their worst season on record, really. Like, I mean, if you have a look at what's not gone their way and all the controversy that surrounded, you know, basically Bennett being pushed on, Seabell being, you know, appointed, and it really has just gone pear-shaped from that point onwards, it's fair to say. So, look, it's another very tough little period within a period, I guess, this next couple of weeks where they're without a coach and, you know, Darius has sort of dropped out and there's players talking to other clubs, hey, can I come there kind of thing. So, probably the poorest time in the history, I would say, and that's disappointing. But yeah, we talk about Brisbane a lot. I think that, you know, we should just give them a bit of a break and, you know, just move on from for a little while. And so what we'll do in the meantime was crack on to round 13. And on Thursday night, we started with the Dragons versus the Roosters, Brad.
Yeah, so the Roosters won this match 25-16, and I think Luke Carey stole the show and is definitely, must be in the conversation to join Nathan Cleary in the Haas for the State of Origin at the end of the year.
Oh, he looks a shoo-in, yeah, I think so. Like, I mean, he's probably the best 5'8 going around. You know, obviously, if him and Nathan are going to be at the helm, then the New South Wales boys will have a strong halves pairing for your Queensland Maroons. What do you have to say about that, Brad? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's not going to – I don't think it's going to be a great week.
I mean, Munster's out injured half the season anyway, so.
Exactly, yeah. I think Queensland's going to be in a bit of trouble, unfortunately, for me. I think they're just too good, and Roosters being too good as well. They're missing 9 of their top players, and that's their third straight win. And the Dragons, they're not easy beats at the moment, as we've seen, and I think they're just getting a bit lost. I've heard rumours that everyone's saying McGregor's lost the leader, the locker room, and that he's not even selecting the sides anymore. So it sounds like the backstage stuff is a bit messy there. And Buzz Rothfield basically said that McGregor's last game as coach will actually be this week. They reckon he'll be given the sack after the weekend.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that they were looking at sacking him that quickly, poor bloke, because I thought that he'd play out the rest of the season at least. But, yeah, in terms of him going on, there was just not going to be an opportunity, I think, for the Dragons to let it continue. So the powers that be over there will definitely make a decision and move on from him. You know, they showed glimpses of trying to come back. I was hopeful, particularly of the Dragons sort of you know, coming back strong at the back end of the season, but unfortunately just not strong enough this year. And a few mistakes made too early in the rounds straight after COVID. COVID part one, I guess you could say. So that was when I think they sort of had the real issues that sort of halted their season. Zach Lomax, he's playing some good rugby league. Really happy for that fellow. You know, like he played some really good games over the last 4 or 5 weeks, particularly. Like you say, for the Roosters, a third straight victory despite injury concerns. So, Jake Friend, obviously, just a little bit on the Mitch Orbison 300th game. It was a privilege to play with Mitch Orbison, is what Jake said. So, you know, that's a big rap from a seasoned veteran and your captain. So, I'm good on Orbison for scoring in his 300th try as well. I think that was a great achievement for him. In terms of just one person who's not really getting a mention at the Roosters end is Siwa Takiaho. He never gets a mention. He is a colossus. He's playing 80 minutes of rugby league pretty much every week. And next to Fisher Harris, Papali, Wairo Hargraves, he's not even getting a mention. But he's a hell of an athlete.
Yeah, he's a real good player. It's one of the case of the one that got away because he was a Warrior. He played one match for the Warriors before they didn't go. It's the case of
many that have gotten away, Brad. I mean, we say one, Nicholas Clockstead. Hello. I mean, you know, we just let Blake Green go last week. So, you know, we love to let good players go. But let's hope that we can attract a few as well in the next couple of years. But, now, hey, look, good on him. And let's hope that we see him progress well into the final series. On Friday night, we had the Seagulls versus the Warriors, in which was a fantastic result for the Vodafone Warriors. I think it was a very good game from them and capped off by a few beautiful-looking tries, you'd have to say, Brad.
Yeah, definitely. I think my try of the game was Patrick Herbert's first game. It was, I call it the cricket catch try, where he did the big jump forward to catch it. Great win by the team. I know we both picked them to win, but a lot of them in Australia didn't give them a chance in hell, really. And they just came out quick and fast early, and the Seagulls basically only scored when the Warriors had a guy in the bin, which unfortunately happened twice.
Yeah, I think that this win is about the platform that's coming from the top. I think that the club stability these last couple of weeks, the wins that they've had, yes, they had some pretty poor losses prior to that, particularly the one versus the Sharks, they lost by many points. But you know what? These guys are starting to play a bit more prouder, I guess you could say. That's how I've sort of seen it. And of course, with Tuivasa-Sheck coming in and playing in their second 5-8 role, I think has helped as well, him playing more at the line. They're definitely a lot more threatening with him hanging around the back of their ruck. So good on them. I think it was a solid performance. Definitely the try for me was that, Herbert catch in the corner. That's a fantastic try. You know, you wish a million times that those kind of plays come off. And, that, you know, a couple of tries on the weekend for the Warriors from kicks. The Chanel Harris-Davida, little chippy as well. I mean, like, you know, that was, his skill set is going to improve. And he's got the confidence to sort of do that early on in his career. Then, he bodes well to be a good combination. And if they're going to stick with them for now, then great. You know, like, we'll have to just wait and see.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's the first time they've actually played in the halves together, Chanel and Cody. So I think it's something that can definitely build, but it's a good starting base. I think I liked what they did there. Cody moved to the right-hand side, which I think opened up a lot more attack, which is why you saw Herbert and Hiku do quite well. And I think it's going to be good. We just got to wait and see. It's they're going to have some bumps in the road, but we're kind of used to that as Warriors fans at the moment. So,
absolutely. And we'll preview their game against the Panthers a little bit later on, ladies and gentlemen. So, in terms of the Manly side, injury woes continue, losing Fenua Blake, Martin Tapau during the match. I mean, their players need a backup, and unfortunately, they've just got too many out injured. And of course, Toby Turbo, he's still not back, and they can't wait soon enough for his return, really, because they are lacking his presence, because when he's there, they win 78% of the time compared to 33% of the time, I think it is, when he's not. So their season's, obviously, it's hanging in the balance, really. Like, they've been going on a downward spiral, so it'll be interesting to see when we have a look at the ladder a little bit later on what we think and how they'll go this week. So, and from the Warriors' perspective, Todd Payton not doing too bad a job considering everything that's going on and around him. So Well done to them. And we'll move on to the other Friday, after Friday night's fixture, sorry. And on Friday night, we had the Rabbitohs taking out the Broncos 28 points to 10. Poor old Broncos.
Yeah, the pain continues for the Broncos. But to be honest, the Rabbitohs didn't even look like they changed gear. It just seemed like a training run for them. It was a lot closer than I thought. I thought it was going to be a blowout. But the Rabbitohs, I've been harping on about it, that their errors are letting them down. And they actually got single-digit errors this week, which is quite good. They only had six. And they're coming back in. They're coming in with a wet sail, but they're coming in. So it's I think you can basically put an L next to every Broncos game for the remainder of the year. But it'll be interesting to see what the Rabbitohs do.
It will be interesting to see. I think look, we'll move on in terms of to other Friday night fixtures. Seawald, incidentally though, he was happy with that effort. So seriously, obviously, some big issues up there at the Brisbane Broncos when you're coach is saying he's pretty happy with that effort. 28 to 10, I wouldn't be saying that. So unfortunately for them, the misery continues. But we have Saturday evening, we moved on to, because the Warriors game was on Friday. On Saturday evening, we had the Storm versus the Bulldogs.
Yeah, so a bit of a whitewash here, unfortunately, for Bulldogs fans. Storm won 41 to 10. Unfortunately for the Storm, though, they lost Munster in this match. He's got a medial ligament injury. I haven't heard how long it's going to be, but it's a few weeks, they believe. So bit tough when the Storm have a pretty tough opponent this week, losing Munster and Cameron Smith.
So yeah, I'd like to keep those two permanently out of Queensland contention for the rest. I know that Cameron Smith doesn't play Origin anymore, but if Cameron Munster's leg could just be a season ending one night, it wouldn't be too bad a thing for the New South Wales supporters. I think, like you say, Bulldogs started the match strongly, but besides that, there was just nothing left. The Storm eventual winners, 41 points to 10. On Saturday following that game, we had, Brad, what do we have on the game following that one?
We had the Knights playing the Tigers, and the Knights defeated the Tigers heavily, 44-4. It's the first time we got to see Blake Green in the Knights jersey, and I think he paired up well with Pierce, and it let
he did look Caelan pretty good, Ponga, didn't he?
He did, yeah, and it let Caelan Ponga do what he does best, and he destroyed the Tigers. I think, what's his stats here? He's got two tries, two try assists, three line breaks, 240 meters, and he kicked six goals. Arguably his best game of the year.
Oh, definitely his best game of the season by far. He was able to destroy them, but like you say, with that platform laid up front by Pierce and Green. So this could be a good, a good little buffer for them with coming into the back end of the season for the Knights, because they were sort of an inconsistent side over the last 5-6 weeks, sort of winning here and there, being threatened up north in terms of, taking the games a bit lightly. So I think that, good on them for, picking him up. And I think that, he's going to let Ponga play out the back, and that's what they need.
Yeah, it's definitely they're a lot better now. I think the couple of weeks where the coach has been hitting them hard about being entitled, I think they've finally got it into their heads that they don't just deserve to win by showing up. So they're actually putting an effort in, and they show how devastating they can be when they've got their mind to it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and from the Tigers' perspective, unfortunately, Maguire, he's starting to get criticised of his coaching now. There hasn't really been too much negative stuff said about Michael Maguire. He runs a pretty good ship. He runs a strict ship. And, we know exactly the way his coaching method is. He'll tell you the way that it is, and, he'll replace you if need be. But unfortunately, it's becoming a case over at the Tigers that they're trying to impress him more than go out there and play the best type of football because of the way that what he expects from his players. So now, his players sort of sitting on eggshells, playing to impress rather than playing, to get tries on the weekend. So unfortunately, that's been what's happening.
I think he keeps chopping and changing the players because they're not performing, but that means they're not actually building any chemistry together on the field. So every week, if you look to your left and there's a different guy there, you're not going to gel, and you're basically starting fresh every game, which isn't good when you're trying to make the eight.
No, it's not. I mean, the new house pairing, like you said, seems good for the Knights there. But I mean, the only other good thing to come out of the only other big, you know, sort of news to come out of that game. Benji's defense was exploited again heavily. Twice, I think, he is in plays where they led to tries. And where to for him now, I guess, people are starting to ask the question, you know. He's been a stalwart of the game, you know, very, very proud Kiwi. And, you know, he's come back to the Tigers, I think, after being in the Broncos and before that, obviously, stint in the Super Rugby. But, yeah, maybe it's time that Benji calls it a day, Brad. It's just an interesting one that I thought I'd bring up. I mean, I'm not suggesting that myself, but you'd have to be saying maybe have a go at being in the hooking position for the last little while and try and stay in the comp that way.
Yeah, possibly. At the moment, if he decides to go on another year, there is a hooker spot open because Harry Grant will be making his way back to Melbourne. So that could be an option. If it works, not sure, but he's definitely going to have a look and see what he wants to do. You don't really want to be, you know, that old timer that's just kind of there because of your name. So
yeah, that's potentially what it could start to look like, you know. But yeah, I think that if he went into the nine position, he'd be defending in the middle. He wouldn't be in those positions where he's left against a much faster and younger centres and 5'8s at the moment. And I think that they're just running him ragged a little bit, to be honest. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. But on the other Saturday night game, we had the Panthers versus the Raiders. The Panthers going out in this match at the round, 28 points to 12, Brad.
Yeah, and that was the 8th win in a row for Penrith. Competition basically looks like it's theirs to lose. I think they equaled the club record and they're playing the Warriors. Yeah, that's the club record and they've got the Warriors this weekend. So there's a pretty good chance they're going to have a new record.
Oh, to be fair, they should create that new record against the Warriors this weekend. In terms of that, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But yeah, I mean, in terms of the Panthers, 24-0 at halftime, and that first half has been labelled as some of the best football they've played ever. So, and that was really evident if you watch the game. I mean, the first 5 minutes they didn't even have the ball, and then bang bang when they got the ball. After around the 12-minute mark, I believe, there was two tries up. And it was just that phenomenal defence in the first 5 minutes really laid the platform for this victory. And make no bones about it, that was brutal defence, to say the least.
Yeah, and their attack was, I think the thing that I like about the Panthers, they can be very exciting on attack, but they do the basics very well. Like Kakao's try was just a basic drawn past, good line, boom, he was through. He wasn't basically not even touched. So they can put a highlight reel on you, but they can do the basics and still score. So they can just score whenever they want, which is really scary for the other teams.
Well, I think they put themselves really good positions. I mean, you've got like young Cleary there. He's Nathan Cleary. He's just basically got that ball on a string at the moment. You know, like all the plans that he executes are paying off. He's very, very skilled at getting himself ahead of the pack and making the play. And he's got the resources on each side to sort of go bang bang. And even with the Alp Coruscant, they're a hell of a rugby league team. And yeah, they're going to be the team to beat for sure. And, you know, good luck to them against the other Warriors on the weekend. Obviously, we're going for the Warriors. But, I mean, if they do manage to beat the club record, you wouldn't put another Penrith team, I'd say, of yesteryear past them, would you? I mean, that's a very strong team.
Definitely not. And for the Raiders side of things, they had chances but just made silly errors. And they'll be disappointed, but it's not the end of the world for them. I think it's showing that they're still there. There was a few games where it looked a bit dicey, but to only lose by a handful of points against arguably the best team in the league at the moment, you can take some positives out of it for when you build into playoffs. And I'm sure Ricky would have taken a few notes on what he think he can do to like kind of upset the Panthers in the playoffs if they face each other again.
Oh, of course. I mean, he would have been making notes on that since the start of the season. But in terms of that, like you say, for the Raiders, Chance Nickel-Klokstad, two tries, more than 200 metres. Great game. He's now played 45 in the NRL, and considering his finger injury of a few weeks ago, that was a really good performance. Another masterclass, though, by Nathan Cleary. Nothing could be said less about this fellow. Short kicks, long kicks. But Phil Gould has been the mastermind behind where the Panthers are now, and that's what I'd like to reiterate. You know, like this club has come into a really, really successful administration over the last couple of years, the planning and the execution. has all been planned by Phil Gould. So, you know, that's what we would hope to see. Pardon me. That's what we would hope to see at the Warriors, wouldn't we? I mean, like, ideally, if we can sort of generate that kind of, you know, feeling within the club on their way to, you know, trying to win a championship, but also keep getting the club to be at the successful end of the ladder consistently. I think that's a big one, Brad. What do you say about that?
Yeah, consistency is the key. I think that's what everyone wants to see. You don't want to be like we've seen with the Warriors of the past, where you'll make the eight, have a good run, and then the next 10 years you're just at the bottom of the ladder fighting with everyone else. So
you want to be like a Melbourne or a Sydney City, where you know you're in that top, you know, 3 to 6, 3 to 5 every year. That's where you should be. You should be competing there, and your club, your nation, your supporters should expect you to be there as well. I mean, that's what makes a great sporting club. And if the Warriors get there, they will have tremendous support. I mean, they've got pretty good support now, considering, I mean, you know, to be fair, we're getting flogged again in another season, you know, but to be fair, you know, the Warriors have still got a number of people who will back them. And if they start winning, that will only ever get better. So, yeah.
Yeah, promising times ahead. But that leads us to our first game on Sunday, which saw the Titans defeat the Cowboys 30-10. Michael Morgan had his return. I think him returning was the reason why I picked the Cowboys in this one. And he let me down. He had
nights to forget. I mean, seven tackles. He missed seven tackles in the game, five in the first half. And he said it himself. He was actually disappointed in his side's performance. That's what he actually said, and he was embarrassed by it. But Sam, I think you should have been a bit embarrassed by your own sort of play, because mate, it was a result of a few tries, let me tell you.
Yeah, it was shocking. The Titans forwards bullied the Cowboys, and I think that allowed their back line to flourish, and they just started getting some good tries on, and it actually shows you how dangerous they're going to be next year when you add the forwards they got coming in.
Oh, you know, like, you know, you can imagine how good they'll be next year. I mean, this Titans side, they're playing really good rugby league right now. They're just, like, obviously at the bottom end of it. But, you know, when they get those players. But, I mean, for example, at the weekend, even Brimson, you know, he was a highlight scoring two tries, setting one up. And of course, Ash Taylor had pretty much the game of the season, I would say, from his perspective. So, and Fogarty was playing really well as well. So, you know, they are clicking under this Justin Holbrook fellow. And, you know, they seem to be making good progress as a team, and that confidence will grow, like you said, next year with the signings they got next year, and you know, Mal Meninga at the club, Gordon Tallis. So you know, they're creating something as well, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with them. But on Sunday we moved on to the Sharks versus the Eels, in which was a slop fest to say the least. The Sharks unfortunately going down, much to my dismay. You know, I was hoping that they would put it out. I mean, they should have won this one, really, Brad. I should have won this one, definitely. I mean, I can't believe it. 12 points to 14. Johnson couldn't kick a bloody goal. Unfortunately, the Eels eventual winners, which is not such a bad thing from a Vodafone Warriors perspective, if you still think they've got a hope in getting there. But, unfortunately, for the Sharkies, 2 points.
Yeah, I know we've got a difference of opinion on this one. Sean did play well, but I think his boot cost them the game, in my opinion. I think if he had slotted his kicks, they would have been ahead. But I think the highlight for him was his defense. There was that Mitchell Moses got that breakaway and he ran like 70 odd meters, and Sean ran him down and tackled him into touch, which isn't something we normally see from Sean. So it's good to see he's putting effort on both sides of the paddock.
Yeah, he's playing some really good rugby league, and I'm really happy for him, because, like, you know, he's getting criticized, you know, left, right, and center at the start of the year. The whole Cooper Cronk comment, you know, what was he saying? He's firing blanks or something to that effect. So I think Sean Johnson had, you know, I've been watching a few of Sean Johnson's highlights recently, and, like, you know, to be honest, we're forgetting how good he can be, and we're forgetting how dangerous he actually is. I think that's all just sort of been put by the by, because he's been part of the struggling Warriors out there for so many years. Now that he's getting the chance to play in perhaps a slightly better side at the moment, he's getting a little bit more opportunity in terms of being able to, you know, be part of a team and take them forward, rather than, you know, try and take the whole team forward yourself. I think that's the difference. So he's getting to play alongside some better players and some better strategies, I would say. So, no, good on the Eels, though. What do we have up on the So that's pretty much takes us to our
whole round.
Oh, that's the whole round. Excellent. Yeah. So round 13 picks. What do they look like, Brad?
Okay, so while we're loading up the table, so the picks, you got two wrong, unfortunately, and I got the one wrong with my stupid pick of the Cowboys. So yes.
You picked the Cowboys, I picked the Titans.
Yeah, and then we had a difference of opinion on the Sharks-Eels game, so that worked out in my favor. So you've got 56 out of 80, and I'm on 61 out of 80.
I can't believe I picked the West Tigers to win. I don't know what I was thinking. At 44 points to 4, I should have seen it coming. Blake Green going across here. I mean, I don't know what I was thinking, really. But anyway, yeah, 56 versus 61 is where we sit at the moment. If we have a look at the ladder there, obviously we've got the Panthers leading the way by that one-point buffer at the top of the table. Storm, Eels, Roosters, Raiders, Knights, followed by the Rabbitohs and the Sharks. That makes up the 8, Brad.
Yeah, and then you got the Seagulls, Tigers, Warriors, Dragons, Titans, Cowboys, Broncos, and then Bulldogs. So I think a lot of people are hoping the Bulldogs string a couple of wins together to put the Broncos right at the bottom.
Well, it's looking that way, isn't it? The Broncos certainly look like a dead set wooden spoon contender, and it'll probably pan out that way, the way things are going for them, unfortunately. But yeah, if we have a look at those teams on the outside of the ruck, on the outside of the 8, we've got the Seagulls, Tigers, Warriors, and Dragons. I would still say that, the Warriors in with a slim chance of making it. Still 4 points adrift, but I would say everyone from Dragons down are pretty much out. So I think last week we sort of talked about teams from 12 up could have sort of been potentially there. And this week, I guess now we're going from 11 up. Doesn't matter who the team is over here. Regardless, it's the Warriors who probably aren't going to make it, let's be honest. But technically, there's still a chance. I think going to beat, they have to beat Penrith this weekend to achieve that.
Yeah. Yeah, the Warriors have got a tough draw. I think they've basically got one that you can definitely put as a win, possibly against the Bulldogs, but they've got the Eels, they've got the Panthers, they've got the Sea Eagles again. So they've got some tough games coming. So it's highly unlikely, but they've still got that mathematical chance that we always like to talk about. But yeah, I think Dragons down are definitely, you can cross all of them off.
Yeah, no, fantastic. Well, cool. Thanks for showing us the leaderboard there, Paul. We'll move on to the round 13, around 14, Drew, and we'll have a look at what we got.
We got a couple of questions. Put you on the dock there. So yeah, so as mentioned earlier, we had that Simon's question there. He says, "Good evening, everyone. No offense, Phil is not going to be based in New Zealand. How's he going to develop local talent? And he's not going to be facing the country. How's he going to develop all this, put these pathways in place when he actually lives back in Australia?"
Let me answer this one firstly, Brad. I'll say that having Phil Gould in any capacity, whether it be on the telephone, on a video conference, in any capacity, is always better than not having it, correct?
Well, do you think Phil's up on Zoom calls? Think he's gone all technical with the old lockdown?
He's been doing them at the moment. I know he's been asked that a lot this week, and he said he's going to spend as much time as he can in New Zealand once you're actually allowed to travel to New Zealand. There is a huge possibility that the Warriors will be stuck in Australia for all of next season too. But he did say he's going to spend every waking moment helping the Warriors, helping set these pathways. I assume he's going to have a team here as well, and like a lot of guys that are in charge of a team, you don't have to sit there on their shoulder all the time. So I see him being able to direct a crew here on what he needs to do. We've got to wait and see.
If the crew is here and he's sort of coming across and he's sort of being involved that way and they're running things, but I mean, he's ultimately the guy running it at the behind the scenes kind of thing. So I think, yeah, in any capacity, I think it would work. I think
every waking moment. I hope he's I feel sorry for his partner then and his kids. But anyway, moving on then. And Jordan goes, "What do you guys attribute all the shenanigans happening at the Broncos? Is it is the blame on the front office, the coaching staff, the players, or all of the above?"
I think it's dead set certain. It's just one man, really. Unfortunately, it's just Anthony Seibold, isn't it? Really, I mean, if you've looked at it every which way, he's the only thing that changed. After Bennett was out, he was in, nothing else changed. And now look at the club. You know, you got senior members like Darius Boyd not wanting to talk to him. He's not getting the respect of most of the players. And, you know, you got players asking to go elsewhere. It's an absolute shenanigans. Absolute shenanigans. And what do you put it down to? Anthony Seibold, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think the front office does have some issues too, because the CEO of the club is actually, he's finished at the end of this year. So all the crap that's going on doesn't really seem to concern him, because it's going to be someone else's problem in a couple of months. So I think the front office has a bit of trouble here, because they've kind of made the mess by hiring this guy. It's not working, and they're not actually doing anything to fix it. But Seibold's got a lot. Everything seems to be going back to Seibold and things he's doing.
Fellow's taking a hammering. I mean, he's just been beaten up left, right, and center. I think we should give him a bit of a break. He's going to jump off a cliff shortly otherwise, that fella.
Come on, you just blamed him for everything.
there we go. I think we should just move on from the poor old Anthony Seibold saga.
So Anthony Seibold's a guy. So breaking news, apparently the Herald, Roger Tuivasa Sheck, and also actually Tohu Harris, apparently are both considering their futures at the Warriors. Tuivasa Sheck may even go over to the Blues, may even change code. What about those two players? How much of a loss, or are you not worried about the Warriors losing those guys potentially?
100% definitely worried.
Yeah. Devastated if they leave. I heard rumors when Kearney got the sack that Tohu was looking at the Bulldogs as an option, that as soon as he could get out, he'd be gone, because he signed with the club because of Kearney. He's very close to Kearney. So as soon as that happened, I think he was looking for a way out. Roger is a bit more surprising, but I know he's taking it hard at the moment, being away from family. And if they're told, look, you've got 12 months in Australia next year, he might be looking at a way out too, just to stay home. But devastating if they both leave, or even if one left. But
In terms of Roger Tuivasa-Sheck there, I think he's also probably mindful that, mate, with his skill set, he wants to chase another championship or two or three. You know, like that's probably a personal endeavor as well. He might not say as much, but you know, he's one of these icon players, and he'll probably get asked by a club, hey, look, we'll come here, we'll build it around you, just like what we've tried to do with them. But, yeah, I'd be devastated and shocked if he left, to be honest. Hope he doesn't leave. I'm worried now.
Yeah. We've just got to be confident about the Warriors. You're doing that to us.
Great question. Yes, I really appreciate that at the 11th hour.
Oh, there we go. So I'll let you look forward to the next round now.
All right, guys. We'll preview round 14 after that depressing news. They're possibly Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. He's going to go AWOL and leave us. Have a prayer tonight and hope that that doesn't happen, because he's been playing some bloody good football lately, and we need him to continue. So on coming Thursday, we've got the match of the round, potentially the Roosters versus the Storm. It's going to be an absolute crack. I can't believe the odds are $1.45 to $2.75. Brad, I'm going to ask you straight up, man, who are you picking in this one?
I'm picking Roosters. I think no Munster, no Smith against the Roosters team is just going to be too hard.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Roosters as well. I think that they, because of that Munster factor, I mean, okay, he's a Queensland 5'8", so it's, it's not too much of an impact. But yeah, I think without him and with Smith out, I think definitely I'm backing the Roosters as well. Warriors versus Panthers. Well, who's your pick, Brad? You're going for the Warriors, aren't you? I can see it.
No, I'm going with the Panthers here. I'll give it to you. If there's any team that can upset a team like the Panthers, the Warriors are generally that stickler team. They've done it in the past, but I like what I see from the Panthers. And I'm basically coming out of it only way. Like, as long as the Warriors don't get embarrassed, I'll be happy.
Hey, look, let's be honest. If the Warriors, okay, they've only got that remote chance of being in the eight, but why do we always talk about it? Why do we always be like, hey, look, they can get the eight? We talk about it because if they can get the eight, they can win the bloody thing. Now, if they're going to be able to win the bloody thing this year, which I hope is still the aspiration, even though it's a long shot, like you said, they've got a tough run home. So if they manage to beat the Panthers or beat the Eels or beat another team and get into the eight, they could potentially beat them again. You know what I mean? That they would have to have the confidence that they could beat those teams again. So going into the top eight, having played the Titans or, you know, a lesser side like, you know, the Cowboys or, you know, the Bulldogs, getting to the eight that way would be no point because you'd come across like a Panthers side, which would just run you out of the park. You know, they'd literally scare the shit out of you. So
I'm hearing here is that you're going with the Warriors. Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is it would be a good pick for you because, you know, there's potential there. I'm picking the Panthers on Friday night, unfortunately. But, yeah, I think, you know, if you back your boys in, it'd be a good thing. I am 4 points, four or five games adrift, Brad, you see. Following that,
I'm happy with my lead.
Okay. We'll stick with the Dragons. With the Panthers on that one. Okay, on Friday night, we've got the Eels versus the Dragons at Bank West. Who do you see taking this one out, Brad?
I think it's going to be the Eels. I think, like we've been talking about, the Dragons seem to be a bit lost now. So I think
I'll agree with the Eels on that. We'll move on to Saturday's fixture. We've got the Sharks versus the Titans. Oh, this could be an interesting one. Like, I'm pretty tempted here. I guess with the Sharks just losing to the Eels the other day, who are you picking in this one? You're going Titans, aren't you?
No, I'm going Sharks.
I'm
being safe. Yeah. Being safe this week.
Put me down for the Sharks as well. I think that after the last week, they played some pretty good football and came up on the on the wrong side of the ledger, but they're certainly looking pretty good. And 6 from 7 before that as well. So, put the Sharks down. Cowboys, Rabbitohs, I don't think it's any question. Rabbitohs for mine.
Yeah, same here.
Cool. And then we've got the Raiders versus the Broncos. Very traditional, encounter this one. It's one of the games that people wait for all season. The Broncos, they're paying only $5.50. Like, I mean, the Warriors are paying $7 for the Panthers. Let's have a look at that. Warriors are paying $7 at $1.10 for the Panthers. How do you get $5 for the Brisbane Broncos against the Raiders?
I don't know.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we're both going for the Raiders.
So we're back in the Raiders for that one there. The Knights versus Sea Eagles. I'm backing in the Knights with Paul Green being the latest spark over there. And the West Tigers versus the Bulldogs.
I went with Knights and I'm going with the Tigers as well.
Are you going Knights and you're going with the Tigers as well? I am definitely going with the Tigers as well. So it looks like we're going for all the same teams this week, Brad.
Yeah, we're exactly the same. So it'll just be how many of them we need to get right.
I'll tell you what, like, you know, on the air, do you want to check in a mystery one? So you basically have to gamble on one to sort of make it a bit more interesting. I am 5 points adrift. Or do you want to come up with something? Maybe next week we'll come up with something to see if we could. Maybe a mystery pick or something to that effect. I'll think of something. And
If you want me to gamble, I'll do it. I'll do it right now. Okay, I'm gambling. I'll change my pick. And
you're going to change your pick, really? Okay, it's unprecedented, ladies and gentlemen. But Brad's going to change. What are you going to change, Brad?
I'm going with the Warriors. I'll take the gamble.
That's a good one. That's a fantastic move. Good on you, Brad. Backing in the Vodafone Warriors. I'll have mud on my face if they win, but I will take the pick if they lose. So excellent. So put us down for those, Bradley. We've got some news from across the on the other side of the earth, really, in Super League. St. Helens thrashing Leeds.
Yeah, so St. Helens wanting to show that they're going to be up there with Wigan this year. They won 48-0. Like we talked last week about Leeds's great game that they won in Golden Point. So they weren't meant to be a write-off like this, but 48-0 is a dominant showing. James Graham got his first try back in Super League after returning. Very big game, but there was some other news which came through very recently, actually. Hull FC have had 8 players and staff test positive for COVID. They are being moved into quarantine, and their situation in the competitions to be evaluated once they figure out what's going to go on. So a bit of a sad story over there at the moment with that, but once we know more, we'll be able to talk about it.
Yes, in terms of the women's game, we've got some news as well. Women seem to consist mostly of Sydney-based players.
Yeah, so that's for the Warriors women's team. They're basically succumbed to the fact that due to COVID, they're basically just going to be picking the players from Australia so they don't have to go through quarantine. The local players that play in the team have been told that if they want to, they can try to get an exemption to go over to Australia by the government, because that's kind of a hurdle now, and do a 14-day quarantine and then stay over there for 5 weeks. Quite a few of the players have decided against that, the local ones. They want to stay home. So it'll be interesting to see what this mishmash team will do in the little comp.
Yeah, the four-team competition, isn't it? It's a four-team competition, is that right? I think it's around four teams, isn't it?
Yeah.
Warriors, Sydney, and there's a couple of other sites. So, you know, look, we'll keep you updated on that. But, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the conclusion of our show tonight. I hope it was a more entertaining version of The Standoff with Sarge and Brad. And Brad, if our listeners want to be able to listen to us remotely, how can they do so?
Yeah, so tune into the podcast on iHeartRadio or Facebook. Just remember to search for New Zealand Sport Radio.
We hope you stay safe, New Zealand. And until next time, good evening. Thank you.
Good evening. Thank you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.